This is Daf Nun Gimel. So we begin now the fifth parak of the Masechta Ketad Me'abrin. So the Mishnah, the parak begins in the bottom of Nun Beis and Beis. The Gemara says Ketad Me'abrin Es Ha'arim. How exactly does one create the Ibor? Ibor, you know, means a woman who's pregnant, who gets bigger. So how does one create the Erev Tchum is the question. So the Mishnah describes Bais Nichnas Bais Yotze. If you know the edge of a city isn't always so straight. So sometimes the house juts out, sometimes it juts in, or alternatively, the Mishnah says pugam nichnas pugam yote. It's referring to sometimes the city's wall, but it's not always even. You know, sometimes it's the houses on the outside, sometimes the walls is jutting out a little bit. So Rashi just describes, you know, imagine the old city, the walls. We have the walls going nice and smooth, but there's certain parts where like there are towers that stick out or gates that stick out. It's an area, just another way of describing a not a straight wall, not a straight line. Or the Mishnah says, Hayusham Gududios Gvos Asar Tvachim, or there's some type of, Rashi explains that here as well, part of the wall had been had started to crumble a little bit, so the corners are not so even, so you have these different types of not straight lines. The Mishnah goes on to say further, the top of Nun Gimel now, Uksharm V'nefashos Sheish B'em Beis Dira, where you have different types of bridges, or you have a kever that has a place that a person's Beis Dira, a person lives in, or perhaps a shomer could spend some time watching these areas. All of these, the Mishnah says, Motsin Es Amida Kenegdem V'osnoso Kimin Tavla. So you kind of take the furthest point where it sticks out the most, and you want to make a square of some point, kemin tabla murbas, make a square, kadeshe niskar es hazavios. So we're going to learn more in the Gemara how exactly this works, but just the basic of understanding this Mishnah is that the whatever sticks out most, you're actually gaining all that area, and you're going to draw a line from those houses, those towers that stick out, and then you create the square, and that ends up being the tchum. So again, we'll appreciate this more when we get to the Gemara. So now, before learning really anything about the halachas of properly making an ibor, the ma'abrim, and creating the proper tchum, the Gemara goes on to a very interesting tangent about proper usage of language and words. So the Gemara says here in the top of Nun Gimel and Aleph, Rabu Shmuel Chad Tani Ma'abrin Chad Tani Ma'abrim. One is with an ayin, one is with an aleph. So this machlok is what exactly was the word being used. So man de tani ma'abrim, aver aver, and man de tani ma'abrim with an ayin is a kisha ubra. So what that means is, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says on the first one, the second one in the Gemara, Aver, Aver, Shemosifin lo Avarm. So if you have Lashon of Aleph, it means to add Avarm, add limbs on. Shem Yesh Aver, Sheyotim Na'ir, B'Keren Mizrachas Jerom. If you have one of the city corners, let's say, for example, the southeast corner, Rashi says, where it sticks out a little bit, Rowan Kilu Aver Gam B'Keren Mizrachas Jerom. You look at the northeastern wall because you want to draw a straight line, so you envision as if there's an extra Aver, an extra Migdal sticking out of that area, Umodin Sham, so you could draw a straight line. So you're adding on different Avarms. That's Lashon of Aleph. And with an iron is Ma'abrin Kisha Ubra, like a woman who becomes pregnant, you add on to the city boundaries. So that's a machlok. So now the Gemara says, goes on to this tangent, and says elsewhere, we have the word Maras Machpela. Rabbi Shmuel have a machlokes, Chadamar Shnei Batim Zet Lifnim Mizet, that the way it was structured was one house was in front of the other house. That's the Machpela, that's the double house. V'chadamar Bais Ve'aliya Agabav, and one felt there was a house on the bottom and there was a second floor on top. So Bishma, this makes sense, Leman Damar Zal Gavze Hain Machpela. When there is a one floor, one level, and a second level, so that's the proper way to use Machpela. That's called doubled. Elman Damar Shnei Batim Zelifnim Mizir. There's one house in front of the other house. That's a typical house, you know, how houses are structured. That's not Machpela. That's not something unique. We'd call it a double house. So my Machpela, why would you call this Maras Machpela if they were just next to each other, not on top of each other? And so the Gemara answers, Shekfula Bezugos. Machpela isn't describing the structure, it's describing the individuals who were buried there, which of course are the couples Adam Chava and so on, the four couples that were buried there. So that's the Kfula Bezugos. So then the Gemara says on that topic, Mamre Kiryas Arba, Amre Yitzchak Kiryas Ha'arba Zugos. So it's the Kiryas is the area where the four couples are buried. That's why it's called Kiryas Arba, Adam V'Chava, Avram V'Sara, Yitzchak V'Rivka, Yaakov V'Leah. So now, again, another machlok is between Rav and Shmuel. Vahi b'mei Amraphel. It was in the days of Amraphel, one of the kings, described in Pasuk in the Pesukim in Parshas Lech Lecha. Rav and Shmuel have a machlok, Eschad Amar Nimrod Shmo. His real name was actually Nimrod. V'lama nikra shmo Amraphel. Why was he called Amraphel? Shamar, he said, V'hipil la'avram avinu b'soch kivshan ha'esh. It was his recommendation to throw Avram into the fire. So Amraphel, lashon of hipil, that's why he was nicknamed Amraphel, but his real name was actually Nimrud. V'chad amar, one felt, Amraphel shmo. His real name was actually Amraphel. And lama nikra shmo Nimrod, why was he called Nimrod? Shehimrid es kol olam kulo alava b'malchusa, because he caused the entire world to rebel. So this is the machlokas. So interesting, they point out, there's a sefer called Sefer L'shmo b'limudim, that explains the machlokas, whether his name was really Nimrod or his name was really Amraphel, boils down to which is a worse avera. Is it worse to do Bein Adam l'makom or Bein Adam l'chavero? So the one who felt that their focus, his name was actually Nimrod, but he was called Amraphel because they focused on the Bein Adam l'chavero, that he put Avram in the Eish. That was the worse avera. But the one who said his name was really Amraphel, but they called him Nimrod because he was a Morid, he caused a rebellion against the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that was focusing on the worst of errors actually being Adam Lamakum. So interesting to see how to explain this machlokas. Gemara now quotes another pasuk, and a machlokas Rav Shmuel how to interpret it. A famous one, Rashi brings this ala Torah. V'yakum melech chadash al Mitzrayim, and we know there's a new king on Mitzrayim after Yosef had died. So Rav Shmuel chadamar chadash mamish, a real brand new king. The old one died, a new one came in. That he simply had new decrees, but he wasn't actually a new king. Shaman damar chadash mamish, was really a new king. Dichsev chadash, new. That's what new means. You take it literally. Man damar nischadshu gzeirosav midloksev vayamos vayimloch. From the fact that the pasuk doesn't say he died and a new king came in to reign, must be that he really didn't die. It was just simply nischadshu gzeirosav. Ulaman damar, the one who says it shenischadshu gzeirosav haksev asher lo yadas Yosef. Even the one who says it was the same exact king who knew Yosef, it's just that he made new gzeiros, but doesn't the pasuk clearly say he didn't know Yosef? So doesn't that imply that it's a new king? So Gemara says, Maya shelo yadas Yosef dahavel dummy kiman delo yada le Yosef klal. He made himself as if he didn't remember Yosef. He did know Yosef, but he acted by making new gzeiros as if he did not recognize Yosef at all. So Tos Chaim actually points out an interesting nafkamina here, because here the pasuk says chadash. Do you take the word chadash literally, or chadash simply means you made it new, but not really a new king? So he says lagabe, a person who sells a house. And he says it's a brand new house, but he doesn't really make a brand new house. He simply paints the walls and makes it look very nice, a new carpet, a new floor, all that. Is that called bayis chadash? If I say I'm selling you a bayis chadash, so if chadash here means mamish chadash, so then I can't sell you an old house that looks new. But if you simply say shenis chadshu chadashav can also qualify as chadash, so then I would be able to say brand new house, even though it only looks brand new. So the Gemara now says, quotes two wide lines down, a mnemonic here, Simon, Shmoni Esrei, Shtemasar, Lamadnu, B'David, V'Even. What's going on? What are these different sugyas? So Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shmoni Esrei, Yamim, Gadalti, Eitzel, Rabbi Yoshaya, B'Revi. I learned 18 days by Rabbi Yoshaya. V'lo Lamadti, Mimenu, Elo, Davar, Echad, B'Mishnah, Seinu. I only learned one thing from him. So before we go ahead, the Sfas Emes asks a question, the Mishnah Avos. The Mishnah Avos talks about how a person has to, a Rebbe could be a person who teaches you one pasuk, one halacha, one davar, and afilo os achas. He says, what's an os achas that you could actually learn from a Rebbe? He points out from this very sugya here, this sugya about the word ma'abrim, the aleph versus an ayin, is actually a great example of one letter could really change around a whole meaning. So either way, he spent 18 days learning by Rebbe Oshaya, and he learned the davar echad b'mishnah seinu. He learned one item. What did he learn? Keitan ma'abrim is arim ba'alef, with an aleph. So that's what he learned. That's the osachas. That's what the Mishnah was talking about, and he called him a Rebbe even after learning one thing. But at the end of the day, he learned just one halacha after 18 days. You would imagine he'd learn more. Ain't, is that really true? V'hamer Rabbi Yochanan yud beis tamidim hayu l'Rabbi Oshaya v'ribi v'yud ches yamim gedalti b'neim v'lamati leiv kol echad v'echad v'chachmas kol echad v'echad, that Rabbi Yochanan said that there's 12 tamidim for Rabbi Oshaya, and that he learned 18 days and he understood each person's leiv, each person's chacham. Rashi says leiv means how sharp each talmud was, this harifus, and the chacham means how much they knew, all that. He spent 18 days studying these 12 tamidim. And the Gemara says further, so he learned one thing? He studied the Talmidim. He must have learned so much more than he wasn't just like sitting in the back of the corner. He was mamish osik 18 days with Rebbe Oshaya in the 18 Talmidim, the 12 Talmidim. So the Gemara says no. What he learned was Leiv Kalachad Vyachad, V'chachmas Kalachad Vyachad, however, Gemara lo Gamar. He didn't learn anything. He could have been studying person. You could study the psychology of person, the mentality, the sharpness, but it doesn't mean you actually learned any Dvar Torah. So therefore, that's not a steer at all. Ibai, same alternatively, Minayu Didu, Gamar Minayu, Didei lo gamar. He learned a lot from the Talmidim. He studied the Talmidim, but from Rabbi Yoshai himself, that he only learned this one item. V'ibayseima, a third answer, davar echad b'mishna seinu kamar. One thing in Mishnah. He learned many things in the Gemara and Brises elsewhere, but in a Mishnah, there's only one halach he learned in a Mishnah during those 18 days. Not that he didn't say learn other things. He learned many other things. Just one thing in a Mishnah. V'am Rabbi Yochanan said, k'sha hainu lomdim Torah eitzer Rabbi Yoshaya, Rebbe, when I learned by him, Hainu Yoshin Arba Arba Ba'ama. We saw sat four people close proximity and within four amos. And Amar Rebbe, Rebbe said, Kishainu Lomdim Torah Eitzel Rebbe Elazar Ben Shmua, Hainu Yoshin Shisha Shisha Ba'ama. We sat six people within an amma. The Miri says they just they wanted to come close in to understand, hear the Rebbe's words. They stuffed in there. Marshall says it's impossible to have six people stand and sit in an amma. It just doesn't make sense physically. He says it was a b'neis. But derech neis, they sat so close together to be close to the Rebbe. V'am Rabbi Yochanan further, Rebbe Oshaya b'Rebbe b'doro, ki Rebbe Meir b'doro. Rebbe Oshaya was so great in his generation, he was like Rebbe Meir in Rebbe Meir's generation. They were in many generations away from each other. Rebbe Meir was one of the greatest of his door. So that was the parallel to Rebbe Oshaya in his door. My Rebbe Meir b'doro, lo yachlu chaver v'lamor al sov daito. People cannot understand Rebbe Meir. He was so deep. We couldn't understand him. That's why the Gemara says we don't pass him like Rabbi Meir, is because we didn't fully understand what he was saying. So too, after Rabbi Oshaya, lo yachlu chaver la'amod al sovdaito, so too, we could not understand Rabbi Oshaya. In his generation, he was so profound. And this interesting, and it's brought down in Kabbalah, that we don't pass him like Beis Shammai b'zman hazeh, but b'zman mos Mashiach, we will pass him like Beis Shammai. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman writes, the reason is because we don't understand Beis Shammai. He was so mechudadim. We learned earlier in the Masechta, Beis Shammai was more mechudadim than Beis Hillel, which means lo yachlu la'amod al sovdaito. Just like Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shaya, the Rabbi Chanan says the same thing with Beis Shammai. We didn't understand them, but in the times of Mashiach, where there's going to be a certain clarity of Das, we will understand Beis Shammai, in which case then we will actually paskin like him. So Gemara then says further, Rabbi Rabbi Yochanan, Liban Shel Rishonim, the hearts of the early generations were Kepischa Shel Ulam, was as wide open as an Ulam, which Rashi says was bigger than the Heichal, as we'll see. The Shel Acharonim, Kepischa Shel Heichal, was a little bit tighter, smaller, their Liban, their understanding what that means. They had less understanding nowadays. Vanuwi, where Rabbi Yochanan in his time, which is even after the what he calls Achronim, Kimali Nekav Machat Tzidekas, we were like a tiny little hole in in a cloth. That's how we compare to the earlier generations. So the Gemara says Rishonim Rabbi Akiva. He was Rabbi Akiva was among the Rishonim. Achronim was Rabbi Elazar ben Shmua. Ikadami, others say Rishonim was Rabbi Elazar ben Shmua, and Achronim was the time of Rabbi Shai Beribi. Vanu, but we are Kimali neck of Machat Tzidekas. We are just simply like, again, a tiny hole in a cloth. So Amr Abai says, Anan, we, Abai, who came even after Rabbi Yochanan, he says, Anan, ki sichta biguda legemara. We are like, if you look at Rashi explains here, it's like a peg. They try to stuff into a wall, into a tiny, tiny crack, which is even smaller than their little hole in the cloth, it seems. And Amar Rava says, Vanan ki etzbasa bekir lesvara, with regards to Gemara, we're a little hole that can get wedged. There's some space in the wall we could stick in. That's the guy of the Gemara, the guy of the Misarim. But Gemara means the tradition, the understanding of the Gemara, the text. Svara is our understanding, the analysis, that it's like a sticking in bekir lesvara, which is, Rashi explains, like putting your finger into wax. It can't even go into the wax. It pushes right back. There's no entry even into wax. So we have no ability to have svara. So that's how far we've fallen. And Amar Rav Ashi says, Anan ki etzbasa bebira l'shich. When it comes to forgetting, though, we're like putting a finger into the pit. There's no holding back. It goes right into the pit. I mean, our shicha just falls right out of our brain. So we don't understand our ability to remember, our ability to forget. All that is that we really have fallen to a very deep place. Now, there's an interesting discussion here, how shicha actually works. There's a machlokas between the Taz and the Bach, the father-in-law and son-in-law. The Taz says, shicha, the way it works is a person slowly forgets, so over time a person forgets. And the Bach says, no, a person could forget immediately. One shot, a person just forgets. One day he can know, the next day he won't know. Now, the Gemara says, so they said, a punch-up shot is, of course, a person slowly forgets. So the Bach says, no, a person really, he forgets everything. But because his memory, he studies his memory, he's able to remember certain things. But the really conception of the way it works, a person remembers, and he can forget everything in one day, which doesn't seem the Pashup Shat. Pashup Shat is like the Taz, that person slowly forgets over time. Moshe was very machbe when he quoted things, he quoted Dapim, he quoted this and that. And one time a person corrected him in the middle of Shir, it was a wrong Daf. Moshe stopped the Shir, he went to check the Gemara up, and then he looked it up, and he was at Moshe, of course, was right, and he went back to Shir. They asked why he was so machbe to start looking up the exact Marmokum in the middle of Shir. He says, because the way he wrote his Igros Moshes was based on memory. He didn't look things up. So the moment he started forgetting, he can't start, he can't pass Kinshasa anymore because he would forget. So it was so essential that he remembers, and that's why he had to know. So based on his memory, once he starts forgetting a little bit, he was choshesh that a person can forget further. So the Pri-Chadash actually writes, because we have this concept that people could forget quickly, so just because a person knew something one day, there's no chazaka that he'll remember it a week later, because it's a, you know, slowly people do do forget things. Okay, let's go back to the Gemara. Now the Gemara says we're around the last ten lines of the Amud Aleph here. The Gemara says Amar of Yehuda Marava Bnei Yehuda Shikbidu Al Lishonim Niskaimu Tarasam Biyadim. Bnei Yehuda, who were very machped, we'll see examples on how to use language. They were therefore successful in retaining their Torah. Bnei Galil Shlo Hikbidu Al Lishonim Lo Niskaimu Tarasam Biyadim. They were not very machped on how to use language, and therefore they didn't remember. You'll see this actually theme a lot of times throughout Shas. The concept of Bnei Yehuda very machped in Lashon. Bnei Galil were not. It does come up, but this is just a very interesting Gemara in helping us remember Gemara that which we learn better. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Midi Bekpeda Talia Misa. Because they're machbid or not machbid, that's going to help a person's memory or not. So the Gemara says, Ella, Bnei Yehuda didaika lishna, because not because they were machbid, because they actually were medaik. One thing to be machbid on it, but to actually put it into action is another thing. Because they were actually daik, they were very medaktic how they spoke. And also, they used simanim. Simanim are mnemonic devices. This is another plug for the Zichur program, helping people remember things. You have to be medaktic on your language, and you have to use simanim to remember things. Because of those two tools, they were in niskaima tarasam biyadam. They were successful in retaining their Torah. But Bnei Galil, the lo daik lishna, they were not so precise in their language. And also, lo misach the lishna, Simana, they didn't use mnemonics. Lonis Kaima, Tarasam, Biyadam, they were not successful in retaining their Torah. Bnei Yehuda, Gamru, Michad Rabba, another thing. Bnei Yehuda all learned from one Rebbe from beginning to end, and therefore Niskaima Tarasam, Biyadam. Bnei Galil, who jumped around, the Lo Gamru, Michad Rabba, they learned one day from this Rebbe, another day from that Rebbe. Lo Niskaima Tarasam, Biyadam, they were not successful. Rashi points out that even though the Rebbeim were teaching the same thing, but the different ways of teaching it, different languages, different tools and stuff, it doesn't come as clear. If you learn of Rebbe from beginning to end, everything's so clear cut. Once you learn a little bit here and a little bit there, so then things get a little bit confusing, and that's why another reason Bnei Galil were not successful in retaining their Torah. Ravina, Amar Bnei Yehuda, the Gali Masechta, Niskaima Terasam, Biyadam. Because they're Gali Masechta, what does Gali Masechta mean? Rashi's Gali means to expose, to teach others. When a person teaches, you're able to remember much better. You're able to understand things much better when you teach it. So since they taught each other, they were able to retain Torah much better. Rashi gives an alternative shot, he says, because they were Gali means, he thinks, to understand, not to teach, but to understand. Sometimes a person can run through Bekiyas and not understand, but they were so machbit to understand the depth of what they're learning, that ingrains it in your head. So those are two different avenues also to help with the memory, either to teach others or to learn it in depth and be medaktik in the reasons behind things. So again, the Gemara says, Bnei Yehuda, de galu masechta, niskaima tarasan biyadam, but Bnei Galil, de lo galu masechta, they did not teach or they did not learn in depth, lo niskaima tarasan biyadam, they were not successful in their learning. David, galu masechta, David will take the approach he either taught or he was engrossed in learning. Rashi quotes here from the Gemara in Brachos. If you look at the last two lines of Rashi, David, the Gala Masechta, Kedamar Bebrachos, Shahya Yiga Betorah Mora Haras, he was Magia in depth in Torah, and he taught Psak Halacha. Kedamar Yadai Meluchlachos Bedam Vishvir Vishilia. His hands were full of blood, trying to figure out whether women are Tami or Tahor. Vomer Mifibeshis Rebbe, his Rebbe was embarrassing him. You say, you're right, you're wrong, all this, this is correct, and that's correct. Despite all that, he was very, Amel B'Torah, and that's why he was successful. As the Pasuk says, David Gali Masechta, Shaul Lo Gali Masechta. David Gali Masechta, Ksid Beit says, with regards to David, the Pasuk says, Yirei Echa, Yiruni, Vismichu. So he was happy in his seeing his understanding of Torah. But Shaul Lo Gali Masechta, who did not teach or did not learn in depth, Ksid Beit says, Bey, regarding Shaul, it says, the Pasuk, one second here. It says, El Kasha Yifana Yarshir, that which you turn will be Yarshir, which Rashi says on the top of Amud Beis now. Yarshir was Lohaya Zocha Lahoros Kalach. He was not Zocha to Paskin Halacha. He tried to, but he didn't learn in depth enough to be Zocha to such a level. So the Gemara then says in the very top line of Nun Gimel Amud Beis, Vamar Rabbi Yochanan Minayin Shemachalo Kadosh Baruch Hu, also Avon, had we know that Kadosh Baruch Hu was Mocha on the Avon of the city Nov Ir Kohanim, which was the destruction that Shaul's fault, how I know he's Mochlim, Shinemar says in the Pasuk, Umachar Tavanecha Imi B'michitasi. The next day, don't worry, you and your children will be within me, within my Mechita, within my area. So Gemara now says, same topic of Bnei Gala versus Bnei Yehuda. Amar Rabbi Abba, Iika Demasha Lehu Levnei Yehuda. If a person has the ability to ask Bnei Yehuda, the Daika Lishna, who are very, very maktik and medaktik in their Lishonos, ask them, Ma'abrin Tanan or Ma'abrin Tanan, with an Aleph or with an Ayin, what we started the Daf on Amr Aleph. Or Achuza Tanan or Achuza Tanan is with an Aleph or an Ayin. That's a discussion elsewhere. Rashi quotes a Gemara in Bukharos. So we don't have to get to the details of that. So what was the proper way to, proper word? So one time, Shaluna Ba'amr Lehu, we asked them, and they answered us, Iika Tanan Ma'abrin. Ikedatani Ma'abrin, Ikedatani Achuzu, Ikedatani Achuzu. They're Yesh V'Yesh. Both of them are very good nuschals, and we don't have any answer which is better. So then the Gemara says, Bnei Yehuda, the Daika Lishna Mahi. How do we know? What is the basis? Give me an example of something where Bnei Yehuda are Makbida on their language, or Medaktik on their language. So Gemara says, Hahu Bar Yehuda, a certain person from Yehuda, Bnei Yehuda. Damar Lahu, he says, Talis Yeshli, Limcho, I have a Talis to sell. Amrulay, they said, my govern, talischa, what is your, the color, what's the shade of it? Amrulu, kitadrin le adama, like the leaves of, what is it, like a radish or something? I always forget which one is, this is. This is the, let's get it exact here. This is a beet on the ground. That's the color of a beet on the ground. That's the, some type of maroon color, I guess. So, Bnei Galil, the low daika lishon, they were not medaktik in lashon. What was an example of them not being medaktik in lashon? The hahi bar galila, dhavi ka'alziv amarlu, amar laman, amar laman. So, he was once walking, a person, Bnei Galil, who has an amar? What's an amar? Unclear what he was talking about. What's an amar? So, the amrulay, they said, Galila, shota, you're such a shota, you galila. Chamar lemirkov, or chamar lemisha. Did you say the word chamar? Because alf and ches sometimes sound, if it's very guttural, they could sound similar. So they're not very makbid how they pronounce things. Were you saying a chamar, like a donkey to ride on? Or a chamar lemishte, or you know, beer to drink? Or were you saying amar with an ayin, lemilbash to wear, some wool? Or amar leiskase, or maybe you're talking about the wool of a cloth to wear? What were you talking about? We're unclear what the word you said. So who is a certain woman, Debai Lememar Lechaber, that wanted to say to her friend, Ta, to ochli chalba, come eat fat. But instead she said something quite different. Amr, she says to him, that to her, Shluchli tuchlich lavi, which means, Shluchli is a lashon of a chavi rashid, you're my friend, come, may you be eaten by a lion. That's what she said, because she was at Namak Doctor, whatever came out of her mouth came out of her mouth, and the wrong words came out, and then that's how they spoke in Galil. They didn't really think twice before saying things. How it's the Asi Lakami the Dayan, a certain woman came in front of a Dayan, and she wanted to say that someone had stolen a large tile from her. So she says to the Dayan, Mari Kiri, my master, my slave, which is not what she wanted to say, but that's what she said to the judge, called him a slave. Tafli Havasli, I had a beam, and Gruna Ganuf Minach, and you stole it from me. Ukta Havas, and now it was the Chad Shidre Le Alave, when they hang you on it, Lomati Karcha Ara, your legs won't touch the ground. So this, certainly that's not what she wanted to tell the judge, that she was not trying to accuse the judge of stealing, nor that she was threatening to hang the judge, but those were the words that came out, because Bnei Galil, they just said whatever came out of their mouth, even though it didn't make any sense. So Amhasa, the Bei Rebbe, in contrast to that, the Amma, the Shifcha, the maidservant of Rebbe, was a very chashuv lady. We learned a lot of halachas from her, how to understand certain words in Pesukim, the Gemara talks about. So Amhasa, the Bei Rebbe, Kiava Mishai B'lashon Chacham, when she would use ambiguous language, but in a intelligent way, to get a certain point across in a hidden way, so she would say, Amr Hachi, an example of the way she would speak, B'der Chachma, would be Alas Nakvas Bakad. The ladle now has gone top, had hit the bottom of the barrel, which meant that there's no wine left to serve the Tamidim at Rebbe's house. Yadan Nishrei Lekineo, let the eagles fly back home. So that was her way of saying, there's no wine left, boys, go back home, shear's over. But can't have a bari de lisfan, when she wanted the Tamidim to come in and sit in the house of Rebbe, she would say, Hava Amrlei, Yad Basar Chaverte Minei, so a piece of the friend shall be removed, which is a reference to taking out the cork of the barrel or the wine, the titka ale bakad, and the ladles floating to the top, meaning there's plenty of wine to serve you, ke'ilfa, the azza biyama, just like the ship goes in the sea. So this was her derech chachma of speaking to the Tamidim. So then Rabbi Yossi bar Asyan Kiava Mishtai Belashon Chachma Amar, when he'd use a intelligent way of speaking, Asu Li Shur B'Mishvat Matur Maskin, prepare an ox in judgment on a poor mountain, which is a way of saying, apparently, prepare beets and mustard for me. So I don't know the correlation, but these were the way they spoke Belashon Chachma. The Chadhava Shal Bishpiza Amar Hachi, when asking about how the innkeeper was doing, he would say, Gavar Pum Din Chai, is the man of this mouth alive? Mazu Tuva Yesh, what's good there? It's a way of saying, are you alive or are things going well with you? So this is just people spoke in such a way of Lashon Chachma. So then Rabbi Abbahu, ki hava mishtar b'lashon chachmah, when he used lashon chachmah, hava amar hachi, he would say, asriga lepechman, there's some coals like an esrog, which means that you turn the coals up, they should be golden and yellow like an esrog. Arkin lezavan, spread out the golden ones, which means spread out the coals. Vasu lishnei magide balata, and make two indicators of darkness, which means ikdami v'yasli b'han shnei magide balata, or make two indications of two coals. What that means is two roosters. Roosters, we know that tell us when the light, the sun begins to rise. So that was his Lashon Chachma of trying to understand the riddle, what he was trying to describe. Turn the coals on, put some chicken, and make me some food. So Amrulei Rabbanan L'Rabbi Abbahu, Hatzbinenu Heichan Rabbi Allah Tafun. So show us where Rabbi Allah is hiding. Amr Lahu, so Rabbi Abbahu said to them, Alatz Binara, he's rejoicing with a young woman, Aharonis from the family of Aharon, the Aharonis, the latest one, Aharonis, a lively one, Vinirasi, and she's awake. That's what he said. So Amrilay, some say, Isha, he just got married, so leave him alone. And Amrilay, others say, Masechta, he was busy learning Masechta, he's engaged in the Torah, and therefore leave him alone, he's up all night learning the Masechta. Amrilay, the Rabbi Eli, they said to Rabbi Eli, Hatzpinenu Heichan Rabbi Abo, Tafan, where is Rabbi Abo hiding? So Amr Lahu, he said to him, to them, Nisarit b'machtir v'hingiv l'mifiboshes. He's taking counsel from those who's machtir, those who crown him, and went to the south to Mifiboshes. In other words, he was appointed to be the Nasi, and he was learning with the Tamidim of in the south. Okay? So Amr B'Yishu ben Chananya, miyamailo nitzchani adam chutz m'isha tinog v'tinokes. So B'Yishu ben Chananya was a great tzaddik. Actually, Rebbe spoke about him, was it over Yom Tov? He spoke about this, right? About the debate between the Athens, right? He mentioned this, one of the Shirim, I think it was. When was it? Shabbat Parshat Hazinu, right. He spoke about it in Parshat Hazinu. He spoke about the Shabbat Shuva. So this was the great, so B'Yishu ben Chananya was the great debater amongst the Athens, and we see many places he had these debates. So he was only defeated three times in his life. One was by a woman, one was by a boy, a baby, a young boy, and one by a young girl. So Gemara goes to discuss each of these three cases where he was defeated. So Ishamahi, what was the case of the woman? Pamachas, one time, Nisarachti Eitzel Achsania Achas, I was by a certain host. Asasili Poland, she made me some beans. B'yom Rishon Achaltim V'lo Shayatim Mehem Klum. The first day I ate all the beans up, nothing left over. Shnia, the second day, Lo Shayatim Mehem Klum. So the second day also, I didn't leave anything over, I finished all the beans up. B'yom Shishi, the third day, Hiktichasin B'melech. The third day, the lady burned them, too much salt. So Kevin Shatamti, Bashakti Yoda Mehem, I tasted it, I just stopped eating. It was disgusting, it was way too salty. Ami, she said to me, Li Rebbe, Mibnei Ma Ain Chasod, why are you not eating? Ami Arkilo, he said to her, Kvar Sati Mibodyom, I already ate beforehand. He didn't want to insult her, he already ate. Ami Li, she says to him, Hayalacha Limshoch Yadecha Minapas, you should have stopped eating from the bread. Ami Li, so she said to him, Rebbe, Shemalo Hinachti Peya, Barishonim, perhaps you didn't leave only any beans from the beginning, the first serving. Why didn't you leave any? Why did you finish all the beans the first day I gave you what to eat? Lokach Amru, do we not have a din with Chachamim? Ain Misharin Peya Bil Ilpis, Avam Misharin Peya Bikara. Although when it comes to serving the pot, we always empty out the pot. When it comes to on a plate, you never eat everything on the plate. You should always leave some leftovers on the plate. Perhaps you're going to need to save some for tomorrow. So he said, you're right, I should have left over. I should not have eaten all the beans. And now because I ate all the beans, and now you burnt the beans today on day three, I have nothing left to eat. So then that was how he was defeated by a woman. Tinokos Mahi, what was the case of the young girl? Pamachas, one time, Haisi Mahalach Bederchas, traveling, Haisa Derecho, Veres Basada, and there's a path in the field. Haisi Mahalach Ba, I was walking in the path. Amilechi, the young girl says, Tinokos Achas, one girl says to me, Rebbe, Lo Sadahi, Zu, is this not a field, a private field? Amilechi, Amartilo, I said to her, Lo Derech Fushi, well, I see, people already walked on it, it's already been used, so it's clearly open for the public domain. So Amrili, she says to me, Listim k'moscha k'vashua. People, robbers like you, started walking on it. Just because people walked and created a path doesn't mean it was the right thing to do. So this is in the middle of the field, and you should not be walking here. And he says, you're right, I should not be walking. Just because I see a path doesn't mean it's proper to walk through it. Perhaps it was Listim who were walking through the path. And then finally, Tinok Mahi, what was the case of the young boy? Pamachas, Haisi Mahalach Bederchas, walking along the way. Varisi Tinok Yoshua Parshas Drachim. There's a boy standing by a fork in the road. Vamartilai says to him, Ezer Derech Neilch Alir, which is the path to the city? So Amrilah, he says to me, Zuk Sarav Aruka, this one's short and long. Vazu Aruka Vakhsar, this one's long and short. So Alachti Vakhsar Aruka, I went in the short yet long path. So, Kevin Shigati Leir, I got so close to the city, it was pretty fast. However, Matsasi Shemakifin also, Ganos Pardesim, but it was surrounded by gardens and orchards I couldn't get through. So, Chazarti Lachar, I went back to where I started from because I couldn't get in. Amartil, I said to the young boy, Bini, Halo Amartil Liksar, didn't you tell me this was the short way? Amrlo, yeah, halo marti lo, arucha, did I also tell you that was long? Nishakti ba'arosho, he kissed him on the head, v'marti lo, and I said to him, ashrecham yisrael shekulchem chachamim gdol matem, migdolchem v'ad ktanchem. It's praiseworthy, the Klaisel, that they're so chachamim, they're so wise, from the old and to the young. It was a very cryptic statement he said, and so true it was, short yet long, and therefore he gave him a big kiss on the head. And finally we'll stop, we'll do a few more lines and we'll stop. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Hava Ka'aza Be'orchi, once Rabbi Yossi Aglili was traveling, Ashka Lebruya, he found Bruya, the famous Bruya, the Ashes Rabbi Meir, she's a wise woman. Amalash, he says to her, Be'eze Derech Nelech Lelud, which way should I travel to the city Lud? Amile, she says to him, Glila Shoti must be from Galil. Rabbi Yossi Aglili, he's from Galil. So you must be a Shote. Loka Chabru Chachamim Al Tar B'Sicha Me'isha, don't have excessive conversations with a woman. Hayalacha, you should have said Lomar Be'ez Lelud. I would have understood what you're talking about, trying to minimize your words, and therefore she had called him a Shota. Okay, we will stop here. Mirza Hashem, we will continue tomorrow. Fascinating daf this was.